started here, you would take your Psalm books and open to page 244. 244. And after we sing this song, Mike, if you would, lead us in a prayer before we dismiss to our classes. 244.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not a word on who can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Students, that we could open our Bibles and minds and study the things that they prepared, that we can learn more about your word, that we can be better in our service to you, that we can be better equipped to take what we've learned and take the gospel of Jesus to those out in the world. Father, remind us of those of our number who may be sick this morning over the past few days and not feeling well. I pray your blessings upon them. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who lost loved ones, Sister Sandy and Sister Stacy and their families. We pray. Thank you for your blessings for me as well. Father, as we enter into this this Bible class time, the Bible study, help us, Heavenly Father, to keep our minds on the things that are important, not the things of this world, but to recognize that our time here is short, and to focus on our life and the after a while with you. We recognize that from time to time that we do things which are against your will, or sin. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, those things as we repent of them. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Some others yet to come. I know Tim and Janet are home sick today. That's got a lot of people who were with us last night a little nervous. That's not something we can catch. Hopefully not. We're in Romans 11 this morning, folks. Romans chapter 11. We're going to try to finish up this chapter. I know we will. and get into the 12th chapter this morning. And what I'm going to do is read a little bit of what we discussed last week, and then stop off, and then we'll finish up the reading with some of you reading the rest of the chapter, and then we'll get into the next. Now, if you guys will recall, last week we drew we drew a tree with branches. We talked about the natural branches and the wild branches, Paul making the point that the natural branches being the Jews, the wild being the Gentiles, and how the Gentiles could be grafted in, and focused on the root, and Paul not wanting the Gentiles to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. And Paul warned about that, and that's why he spent some time talking about that. And look at verse 25, just as a reminder. Verse 25 of Romans 11 said, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come." And then he went on to talk about, a little bit farther down, in verse 30, "For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now have obtained mercy through their disobedience," Jew and Gentile now. The "you" in verse 30 was the Gentile. Their disobedience, but theirs is the Jew. Verse 31, "Even so, these also now have been disobedient, that through the mercy shown, that they also may obtain mercy." And so again, talking about the Jew and the Gentile, the necessity for all of them to obey the gospel and come to Christ. Why don't we just read 32 through 36, and so I guess we're just going to divide it up between two readers. Lori, why don't you take a couple, and Charlotte, you take a couple. Let's just finish up this chapter.
"For God has shut up all in disobedience, so that he may show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, oh, of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him, all are all things, to whom be the glory forever."
Okay. Guys, remember, the whole point of this chapter is to try to show what the Jew and the Gentile have in common. And what do they have in common? There's a number of things that they have in common throughout this chapter that Paul was trying to drive home. What do they have in common? Some obvious things, Lori.
All have sinned.
All have sinned, and drive that point home. What else did he have to drive home? If they've all sinned, then? And? Therefore?
They
need God's mercy. Okay, they need his mercy. He talked about that. And if you don't accept his mercy, something else he talked about in this chapter was you're going to have to accept what? The wrath of God, okay? And we talked about that also last week. And so how that they go together. You know, people want to talk about the love of God, you know, but they don't talk about the severity of God, you know. And, you know, I'll emphasize one over the other. We talked about last week the danger of going to extremes, where you emphasize the severity of God, you don't emphasize the love. Or you just emphasize the love so much, you don't talk about the justice that is there with the punishment. And so he wanted them all to see this. That what did Paul mention as a refresher? What did he mention if the natural branches are broken off? What did he mention was a possibility? That they could come back in. And obviously the same thing with the, and he warned the Gentiles, he says, look, at the broken ones, or the natural ones can be broken off, and you that are grafted in, what did he say there was a danger of? That you could be broken off again. Just because you get, you know, and of course that destroyed the false doctrine of once saved, always saved. You can lose your salvation. I mean, just remember, guys, just got to commit that to memory. Whenever you get into a Bible discussion with somebody, they believe that once you become a child of God, you can never so sin as to lose your salvation. Please, embed it in your head. Romans 11, Romans 11. Let's go to Romans 11. Let's talk about Romans 11. And you'll talk about the Jews and the Gentiles, because even them, the ones that will often promote the once saved, always saved, still think the Jews are special people today. And if you go to this Romans chapter 11, You've got the natural branches. Ask them who that is. Well, that's the truth. And what is it? Broken off. You know, disobedience. The severity of God will be there. I mean, it's just as plain as the nose on our faces. And so, again, a good chapter to remember. So having said all of that, as was just been read, look at verse 32. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all, Jew and Gentile. Goes with the theme of the book. Laurie was quoting Romans 6:23 and 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And so therefore the mercy of God is for everybody. And what I love about that verse, for us, and if we were flooded with visitors today, and I would want one of you to jump up and say this when we had a bunch of visitors, and I'm going to want you to say it right now too, is by admitting the fact that God has mercy on all of us, what does that mean? What's that?
He wants all to be saved.
Wants all to be saved. So along those lines, what does that say about all of us?
We're equal in the sight of God.
That's it. And that's what you want. You want people to come in and understand, you know, we're not better than you. You know, you want a visitor to come in here, and the visitor's sitting down there, and they're just wild as you can imagine, and they're sitting there thinking, oh, these people think they're better than me. Nope, we're not better than you, okay? Now, I've often said, I might not be better than you, but I might be better off than you, spiritually. But I'm not better than you, because I need God's mercy just as much as they need God's mercy, every one of us here. So there's no room for arrogance. There's no room for elevating ourselves, putting ourselves above others. And this time, it was the Jew and the Gentile. Let's destroy that barrier right there. And Paul did a fantastic job. I wonder how he did a fantastic job. He wrote by inspiration. And let's remember that. God directed him on what to say. Verse 33, so therefore the focus is, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? You know, when you think about the mind of God, how do you know what God thinks?
You don't unless he tells you.
How are you going to do that? Isn't he going to talk to you separate from the word? Lay something upon your heart, you know. It's right here. I mean, that's the only way you know. I mean, why did you guys ever write a letter to a loved one? Why did you do that?
Well, no one was on your mind.
That's it. And when you wrote that, it was your mind on paper. That's what it is, guys. It's a strange way to put it. Oh, here, I got my mind on paper for you. Oh, you mean a letter? Yeah, that's what I mean. Go ahead, Mark.
But isn't denominationalism, isn't that really people trying to be counselors to God?
Yeah, sure it is. When you think of anything, Mark, and the sky's the limit in our discussion on that this morning, we could talk about all the innovations that exist today. You know, God is really going to like this. It's the Cain mindset. Well, of course you're going to like this sacrifice. Because I went out of my way, I thought of it, I did this for you. And the problem with worship today in the religious realm, it's too much I. I did this for you, I did this. Look, just ask him. God told you what he wanted. You don't have to dream up anything. And seriously, we as teachers, when you guys put lessons together, when I put a sermon together, my job's kind of easy in the sense where I don't have to try to think up something. Just go here. Just preach this. And so that's what it's all about. But you're right, Mark. That is the problem. And that's why you can see in this chapter where Paul has been dealing with you Jews and you Gentiles and the tree and your graft. You know, people go into that and they go, you know, what's he talking about? All of that, when we have that tree with the natural branches and the wild branches, all this was to focus on the root. The root. You're nothing without the root system. And that's the point. And so you need to think about the Lord and his place in all of this. And that was the point of the book. It's all about Christ, because what was their danger? They were wanting to go back and bring things under the old law, which basically is saying you're rejecting Jesus. And people will say no. You go to our denominational friends, our religious friends, and say, you know, you've introduced this. You're rejecting Jesus. And they'll go, I love Jesus.